Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. Today, we are joined by Grace Galligan, professional photographer and videographer. Grace has worked with several clients for weddings and family shoots, as well as nonprofits, sharing her gifts in film and photography. Grace will be sharing with us how she seeks beauty in the works that she produces and provide some points for parents to consider when capturing important moments. Hey, thanks, Grace, for joining us on the show today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we're really excited to have you on the show because, you know, you work with videography and you're in film. And so I just want to ask you how you kind of started and, you know, tell us your story about how you got into that.
Yeah. Thank you again, Grace, for having me. It's kind of been like the one thing in my life, like photography and video that I've pursued, like, outside of running, like I love to run, but that I've been like my whole life, like I will do this, like whatever it takes. So, and the Lord has like really blessed that, which I'm super grateful for. Like I got my first camera when I was 10, I think. It was like a little digital camera. And then I think I got a Polaroid and I just love to like play around with it. And my sister was like my model and it was mainly photography growing up. And then I took like private photography lessons with this really talented photographer. And my parents really like championed it for me. They were like, we want Grace to like succeed in this, which I was super grateful for. And then I ended up when I was a senior in high school, you know, like as a senior, you're like, what am I going to do with my life? Like I'm 18 years old. I'm supposed to have it all figured out. And I didn't. But I basically was torn between, will I run in college or will I pursue like a career in video or photography? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't finding a school that was like fitting both those needs. So I kind of had to like give up a little bit on my running dreams. And then I ended up going to an art school in Philly. I went to the University of the Arts in Philadelphia for 1 year. It only lasted 1 year because, I don't know, like art school is amazing. But I think for where I was at in my life and I felt like I honestly was pretty naive and I wasn't really like strong enough in other areas of my life to continue to stay at that school. And the Lord was like calling me to other things. So I ended up taking a gap year and I served with Net Ministries. And that was amazing for so many reasons. But I guess in terms of like, you know, video and photo, it's cool because on a Net team, you get like assigned these roles. And I was assigned like the media, you know, content person, you could say. Like back then, I guess they were writing like blogs. So I would write all the blogs and then add like photos and stuff. So I was still able to like bring my camera and like, you know, see the world, see the country and photograph and video things along the way, which then I transferred to Franciscan University where I graduated from in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was studying communication arts there. And it was a good education, but I will say that most of the things that I do now, I was probably learning outside of the classroom, in terms of just like with photography and videography, you really like won't learn until you're actually doing it. Like with so many like skills like that, I feel like you have to be like on the ground or like with other photographers or with other videographers, mm-hmm. asking questions, like literally like showing someone your camera saying like, I can't get the lighting right. Like help me, you know? And so I had a lot of those experiences, I'd say outside of school, but my experience at Franciscan is still like paying back in terms of like network and community. And I still have so many clients through like people that I went to school with. And I ended up moving to Alabama and I was working for a film company down there for 3.5 years. And that really, really shaped my film career. So I was always like so passionate about photography, but I knew that there was like a much broader world and like bigger world in film in terms of like if I want to say something, like if I want to help somebody say something, I think video is where it's at in terms of, like, you know, with audio and, you know, dynamics and music and all that stuff, you can actually really like pull like people in such a unique way. So that's really, really where video like captured my heart in terms of like, if I still want to tell a story through a camera, video might have more of those options. So yeah, I worked with a company down there for a long time, and then I ended up moving to Colorado 2 years ago. And almost 2 years ago, and now I work full-time freelance where I take my own clients and, yeah, just kind of go where the Lord calls. It's truly God's providence where I end up and who I end up working with at this moment in time. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah. No, I was going to ask if you know, you had said like you learn kind of on the job, kind of in the midst of the activity. Do you find that you have, were there some mentors within the field, or was it really like peer-to-peer interactions? How did that work for you when you were learning those new techniques? Or
yeah, it's kind of a little bit of everything, I would say, like a lot of trial and error. And then yeah, the people I ended up working with in Alabama really shaped me a lot too. Like I was able to ask them a ton of questions. And then I have a handful of just friends. So yeah, that peer to peer that we're pursuing and are still pursuing like side by side with me, like similar goals.
So you started in photography and then you moved to film. Could you tell us a few, I think people might think that it's the same thing, or, you know, can you tell us some clear differences or some similarities that helped you move from photography to film?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say even like today, I still do photography full time side by side with my video. And there's some clients even that will hire me to do both at the same time, which is a beautiful challenge. Yeah. So as much as they're similar, they are really, really different in terms of like, you know, a moment on a, in a photograph is like so quick and it's a moment, and you can take a whole series of photographs in multiple moments. But then for instance, like I can talk about, I was recently in Uganda for 2 weeks and I was working for like this nonprofit, and they asked me to come and do both photography and video. And we were really mainly focused on this one big video that I'm gonna edit together, and then they'll use like at a gala to help raise money. But then they also wanted an entire catalog of images that they could use for social media. And so it was a lot of discernment in those moments of like, is this a photo moment or is this a video moment, you know? Yeah. And I feel like over time, there's been like this cool like tension between the two. So I can't really think of a certain moment where it shifted from like my love for photography to video, because they've always kind of been really, you know, on par with each other. But it is just kind of like paying attention to certain moments where it's like maybe something's happening visually where you almost anticipate a moment of conversation happening or laughter, almost like paying attention to like, is this an audio moment, you know, or if I wanted to capture it in slow motion, you can't get that same feeling in a photograph. So I would kind of err on the side of video for those things.
Well, and you also mentioned like anticipating moments. So would you say like there are certain I'm thinking of your film right now, and just a lot of it's, I mean, most, it's all beautiful. So it's like, how do you anticipate those moments? Like, how do you bring more beauty into, let's say, a scene of film? Like, are there certain elements that you like look for when you're capturing those moments?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mary Grace. I think all photography and video really, really comes down to light. And even if you think of just like the engineering side of it, like your camera is responding to light and darkness. And so without those two elements, you can't really have either. So I think when it comes to like deciding whether or not I'm going to take a photograph of that moment or video, I would say that is more nuance, but if you're just talking about, yeah, capturing a moment, whether it's photo or video, really, really paying attention to, like, say you're outside, like, where's the sun? And over time, like, I've learned, oh, like, you know, you think, oh, where the sun is on someone's face, I'll shoot from this side, and it'll capture their face fully lit up and it'll be beautiful. But you'll find, like, you know, in the middle of the day and the sun's on someone's face, like, they're squinting, their face is really flat and there's no depth. There's no, you can't get that, like, feeling. So I've learned, like, especially through, like, my film experience has really shaped my photography in terms of, like, so many beautiful film moments are shot, like, backlit or where, like, there's the sun kind of coming into the lens. And yeah, just, like, really, really, like, even if it feels like the light is not working in your favor, like, your skills over time can really help, kind of, like, not fight with it, but, like, almost dance with the light in a way. Seriously. Like, I know it sounds funny to say, but, like, especially if you're, like, running around a playground with, you know, full of kids, you're like, ah, it's so chaotic. What am I gonna do? Like, it's just like, no, like, just know where the sun is in the sky and look for moments, and everything will kind of start to, like, shape around there. And not being afraid to, like, make mistakes and say, like, okay, like, I was in the wrong spot at that moment, but I'll move and then, you know, it'll come. So being patient with yourself and
Yeah. And you mentioned the lighting aspect of it. I'm curious, do you edit, like, a lot of your videos, or what you see is kind of what you get with your film?
Yeah. Most of the clients that I work with, I, at least more as of recently working for myself, I will take on clients where I end up being the editor of, like, I kind of, take, like, smaller scale projects in terms of, like, okay, I know that I'm not going to have a whole film crew. Sometimes I'll work with, like, one friend or another friend and we'll work together. But yeah, I end up editing most of the work that I do. Yeah. There is, like, a small aspect of my job where I get hired on contract where a film crew will need me to do one role on a film set. I'll do that role and then I'll leave and I won't have to work in the edit. But most of the private clients that I take, I'll do all the editing for.
And what is your kind of criteria for, do you have a criteria for clients? And, like, do you choose particular projects because of, you know, your enjoyment of filming or taking those, shooting those projects, or, you know, do you have a specific criteria?
Yeah, I think over time, it is really, really important as an artist to stay true to yourself. Like, even in the film world, there are so many different, like, categories of film that you could do. Like, you can make so much money flying a drone around real estate, you know, and call yourself a filmmaker. And people do that. And I'm not, and I don't want to come off like that's not, it's just not what I do. And it's not the clients I take. And it's not where I feel, like, the most alive. And so when people have approached me for projects like that, where they're like, for instance, I don't own a drone because I'm a really bad drone pilot. Like, I never played video games growing up. So I don't have, like, the skill set to fly a drone. But people are like, all filmmakers know how to fly a drone. I'm like, not me, not this one. And, you know, like, even just looking at, like, okay, what do they want? Could I do it? Yeah, probably. But, like, is it the best for them to hire me? Because, like, staying true to, like, what actually makes me feel so alive in terms of, like, when I'm actually filming this, will I feel, like, so confident in my skill set in terms of, like, I'm confident enough to even take a risk to say, like, yeah, I maybe have never done this before, but, like, I'm loving this experience so much that, like, I'll push the envelope so that we can make it even better. So if someone approaches me and I, like, there's usually, like, a conversation, so many conversations before I, like, take them on as a client where I communicate, this is my style, this is how I usually shoot. Are you comfortable with that? And then people have the freedom to say yes or no. And then it's usually for the best, you know. If they say no, then it's not something that I'm going to be, like, you know, pulling my hair out about later. Right. and then they won't be disappointed because they're like, we shouldn't have hired this girl. She doesn't know how to fly a drone. Yeah. You know.
So when you, that you gave the example of drones. Would you say that that is kind of, what other trends do you see in film that could potentially detract, and not the drone filming detracts from beauty, because I think there's a lot of beautiful drone shots, you know, but do you notice any trends within film or photography that you think detract from an overall like artistic approach or beauty of the shoot or of the image?
Yeah, I think personally, I don't think this is like a blanket statement. Like kind of back to what I was saying earlier about staying true to yourself in terms of like style. I am not like a narrative filmmaker. Like I don't think I will, you know, continue to pursue like making a movie, like a real scripted movie. Like it's just not in my wheelhouse of, it's not how my brain works. So on the flip side, I really, really try to lean into moments that feel as real as possible. Like that's where the documentary style comes in, which I didn't really mention, but that's basically like what I would say my style is like really trying to like be present to a moment without forcing it. And so when I look at projects that, you know, it's like in any field, you know, say you're a writer and then you read a book that you're like, oh man, like it's so different from my style. And you start to like pick up like the different ways that someone else wrote the book. And you're like, I just would have written it differently. Or like, you know how like English can be shaped in so many different ways. Like I'm not a writer. I when I read books, I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, you know, but so when it comes to like video though, when I watch a video, like I'm looking for those little things. Like, I'm like, how did the videographer do it? How did the director think? So those sorts of moments where it doesn't feel like super authentic stick out to me a ton, where I'm like, oh, like maybe they could have just pulled back a little bit and, you know, maybe done it a little bit more naturally. But I'm not, again, like, maybe I'm not the person to answer that question super well, because like it's just not in my wheelhouse to do like directed stuff, but that would be my two cents about it.
Well, and you had a good point about banking, like it's your style, what is your kind of way of doing things. And that's also like a great aspect of just art and beauty in general, is that it is, I mean, God gave so many people so many different talents that, you know, you could be a film, you know, create film in certain style and then really beautifully, and then someone else could create it another different style, completely different, but also it can still pull and draw in the viewer to beauty.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good, I think that's a really good point, Mary Grace, because that's why I'm like trying to say as clearly as possible that I'm not trying to make a blanket statement, because I can't control the audience. I can't tell people how to feel. I can't, like, if it makes me feel a certain way, it doesn't mean the person next to me isn't moved, you know? Like, so it's, you know, it's so subjective sometimes, which makes it a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
to make like, okay, this is what film is, or this is what photography is. It's like, no, that's where honestly a lot of the beauty comes in, where it's like, the Lord moves like in people's hearts, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, but we're all like so unique in the way we consume beauty that I think no matter what art, whatever you make, like I think can move at least one person, even if it's not someone's like preference, you know?
Yeah. I like that a lot. I really agree with that. You had mentioned, very beginning when you talked about like kind of your starting, that your parents got you a camera when you were 10. So yes. This podcast, is, you know, it's for parents and it's for families so that they can, kind of strengthen their family life. And, so I'm curious what your thoughts would be, for some advice to families, to parents about how to kind of encourage, you know, capturing moments, like you had said earlier, capturing these important moments in their family life. And also maybe if like their children have a desire, you know, what would be some advice that maybe you've kind of experienced yourself and would give to others?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, with like the advancement of technology, a lot of people are like, you know, what's the best camera that I could get that's affordable, that's packable, that's travelable, or, you know, that like is gonna is going to help me capture my family's memories the best. I have people, I have friends of my own that are parents now that ask me that, because they're like, oh, like, you know, my friend who's a photographer would know. But I think they're, you know, if we're called to, like, as a family unit, you know, like, it's not always like in the cards for everyone to have the most expensive gear and like have the most expensive camera just to capture a memory. Like, I think giving people, like families, permission to be like, I have an iPhone and I can capture a moment. It might not be, you know, the same as like a cinema camera, but it's, at the end of the day, it's a moment. It's my kid's birthday. It's my kid's play. It's a funny moment in the back seat. Like, leaning into like, what do you have in your house already? An iPhone or a digital camera, whatever. And you can go outside of that and like, okay, maybe I can get a used camera. Maybe I can get a Polaroid and like just stick with like, you know, more of like that vintage feel, like I have a printout photo. But yeah, just from a more general perspective, again, like not overthinking, oh, if I don't have a good camera, I can't capture my kids' memories. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, like truly, like technology has advanced so much. Like, use your iPhone and like, don't be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, the iPhone 15, they filmed like an Olivia Rodrigo music video on an iPhone 15. That girl is like huge. I'm not trying to advocate for her or anything. I'm just saying, like, they're like, you know, you don't have to like drop thousands and thousands of dollars for things just to like capture your kids' memories. And then on the other side of like, as a parent, I'm not a parent myself, but I was saying earlier, my parents just like, they didn't even, most of the time, I don't think they ever asked me like, why do you love photography? Why do you love video? And I loved that because I don't think I would have been able to answer it. They just like gave me opportunities and permission to pursue it. And even though it was like so different from like, my siblings weren't into it, they just really helped me pursue it and are still like, I could give you so many examples of how they're still championing me and like so proud of me. And, you know, it all goes back to the way they invested in little ways. So like, they would hand me the camera because they knew like, Grace can do it. Grace loves this, you know, even if it's like, you know, I wasn't really even that good as a kid, you know, but it's just like, they just believed in me and they let me like have fun with it. And it's now, you know, something that I am fully doing as my career. So just for parents to like, kids don't really know why they love things, I think sometimes, but it's just in them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. Like, that's how God, you know, distributed our gifts and talents. It's mm-hmm. just part of you. So
that's awesome. That's beautiful. I love that. And it's like, yeah, it's so funny. You're right. Where it's like, kids don't really know why, they just like something. They just like it. And then it'll go. Did your parents ever like foresee, I mean, they knew you loved it, but did they ever see that becoming a career for you? Like, did they envision that, I guess, for you?
I would have to ask them, but they just like are such big like believers in the Lord, and like they know, like they really, really trust God, and it's helped me trust him too. So I think that they knew that like, if I just worked hard enough and like really was in, set up in the right direction, like I could do anything, which is a huge gift. Like, I can't say that every parent has done that for kids. So I'm so, so grateful for my parents to have believed in that, even though it could have gone super south. You know, I dropped out of art school, but then I still am doing it, you know?
Yeah. So, oh, that's great. Yeah. I love that. And I mean, that's just, it's a beautiful testament to, yeah, parents supporting their children. And so just to kind of wrap up a little bit, do you have a favorite, like, this is kind of a fun question, I guess I would say, but do you have like your favorite film or a most inspiring piece of work that you just kind of were, that maybe our parents could enjoy or just to see, you know, how you can be inspired by certain works?
Yeah, I think because I'm not like a narrative storyteller, movies, like I love movies, but like I'm not, for being in the film world, I'm not a big movie buff. But I can't say that. I know a lot of film. I have a lot of film friends that are like super into movies. So they can probably recommend better, more movies. But I would say like, I love The Sound of Music. And there's a video. It's really, I think I'm way more like, thinking about super recent stuff. Right before I left for Uganda, I was really trying to find something to like inspire me to like shoot something, you know, that's not like American, you know. Right. And I found this. I could, maybe you can link it below. Mm-hmm. But I found this video that these filmmakers went to Kenya and they filmed at this school in this this ballet school in Kenya. And it is like, so it's only like 5 or 6 minutes. And like, I cannot get enough of this video. It's way more recent to me. It's not something that like I found ages ago. I found it only a few weeks ago. And I think everyone should watch it because it's like so empowering and beautiful. It's really well done. And it's about kids following their dreams and how teachers play a huge role in that. And I think people should watch it. So you could, if you can share it, Mary Grace, that would be awesome.
I can do that. Yeah. So any final thoughts on, you know, if you want to share a little bit about what you do, like, I mean, you said, you know, you'll get clients and stuff if you want to share your website or anything else that you'd like to share with our audience?
A lot of people are like, are you in the wedding world? I don't take any photo clients for weddings, but I do wedding films for about like 50% of my work is weddings. And then the other 50% is like documentary, more like do a lot of nonprofit work. Or just like people need video for marketing nowadays. So I do a lot of that. And yeah, I'll do like family sessions. I love like in-home family sessions where people are just like living life. Families are living their life, and I love to capture that as authentically as possible. And yeah, so you can check out like more of my work on my website and things like that. So,
well, thank you so much for being on the show, Grace. We really appreciate your insights and your expertise on film and photography.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fairest Love Podcast. In 2024, we want to reach as many people as possible. You can help by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at fairestloveshrine.org.